Do not be afraid. And you know, that's in the Bible a lot, by the way. But so I'm not going to go through and rehearse all of those. But if you ever want to look them up, there's a lot of them. They're very encouraging. And so today I want to talk about fear. You know, fear is a master thief. Fear is evil. It's diabolical. Fear is of the devil. It's foul. It's nasty. It's vile. Fear causes sickness. It bends the body. It certainly bends the mind. It corrupts everything that is good. And so I just want to let you know today that fear is not your friend. And the antidote to fear is a simple thing called love. And you cure fear with love. When you fill your heart and mind with love, I mean, I'm just telling you, fear is driven out. And you know, when I love the Lord, it's usually what I'm about when I'm singing and praising God. I'm just trying to love the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's just, you just feel His love wash over your heart, and it seems like all your problems and fears just vanquish. Many times, you know, we agonize for hours. Well, I'm sure that you, maybe not you guys, you wouldn't do that. But, I mean, some of us agonize for hours. Not only hours, we agonize for days, years, or you can agonize your whole entire life trying to find an answer. And, you know, we look for a solution that will heal all that's wrong in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something, though. I have good news. I know the answer. And the answer is love. Often I'm confronted with a problem just like you. How many of you ever have problems? I have problems too. I know you think I don't, but I do. And I'm confronted with a problem just like you. And sometimes I'm confronted with problems that in my own personal life, believe it or not, and in the life of someone I love, I'm confronted with problems sometimes. Or, as a minister, a lot of times just from complete strangers that I don't even know. And sometimes I actually have a concrete answer, some concrete advice. You know, if they don't know how to tighten or loosen a nut, I can tell them righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. And, you know, that's always good. Because people can get really frustrated not being able to get a nut off. And it can really cause I've seen people get angry and throw hammers across sheds and all sorts of things over that. So that's, you know, good to be able to share advice with somebody like that. But so often, I have nothing material to offer. I mean, I don't know. But when there does not seem to be a right answer, when, you know, I'm racking my mind and I've thought upon it and I've spent time on it, and I've tried to figure it out, and but yet I'm just sure not what the right choice is. Then what I have figured out is that at the end of the day, whether I can understand or not the right choice, just choose love. And you know, if you'll just choose love, you're going to be okay. And you know, love blindly. You know, if that's all you know to do. And in other words, never roll the dice on an answer that comes up out of fear. Because that's always going to be the wrong answer. And, you know, sometimes with fear we get some bright ideas and we think, well, maybe this will work. If it's from fear, don't even bother. Fear does not heal. In the remorse that people felt after George Floyd killing in Minnesota, I mean, there should have been an opportunity for healing. You know, there was people who were never willing to listen or to consider that were suddenly, you know, thinking about things they hadn't thought about. And, you know, many times relationships are restored at funerals. And not always, but funerals can actually be a place that brings families and people together. And where old wounds can be mended and, you know, and attitudes tend to change. But the opposite has been the outcome mostly with recent events, because what we see is the actions of a lot of fearful people. And they're not actions of love. What we see is fearful people attacking fearful people. Greater fear is being stoked. And of course that manifests as anger and hate and all kinds of things. And where there was an opportunity to love, you see, fear is snuffing that out. Fear always creates anger and hate. And so what we see happening in the world is that it's the same thing in your homes and in your personal relationships. Fear is an evil that will take you nowhere good. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear. Everybody say no. There is no fear in love. That means zero. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so, you know, if you ever find yourself being controlled by fear, experiencing fear, you just need to go ahead and admit it, that you have not mastered this thing called love. You may have come a long way. I'm sure you're a good person. If Christ is in your heart, you will be. You're going to only get better, but you haven't mastered it yet. And fear creates anger and hate, and perfect love drives it out. Who is an example of perfect love? Okay, who read my notes? See, that's the kind of folks we have come to Abundant Life Family Church. Jesus. And that shouldn't be a hard answer, should it? Not if you're a Christian. Jesus drives out fear. And you know, Hebrews 4:16, it says this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Not with fear, but with confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so it doesn't say that you're to approach God's throne in perfectness or in having all your stuff together, because it's talking about the need to receive mercy. So obviously we need mercy and grace. We don't have it all together. And but we do it so that He'll help us in our time of need. But we need to approach His throne of grace with confidence. And so, you know, Jesus, He was tempted like us. And I know sometimes, you know, it's hard to understand the humanity of Christ. But He was tempted just like us, believe it or not. And so He can empathize with your weakness. And, you know, just because you have overcome some weaknesses in your life doesn't mean that you can no longer empathize with when you see it in a child, or you remember what that was like. And so you can empathize with them. And you know, Christ can empathize with us. Even though He may not have failed, He knows what temptation is like. And Satan creates fear. He tempts us through the weakness of our flesh. And our minds run rampant with fearful thoughts. And we as an individual, as a community, as a nation, become a basket case of insanity because of all the fear that's racing around inside of us. And your recreated spirit in Christ is not full of fear. I mean, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's given you a brand new spirit. He Himself indwells your spirit. There's no fear in your spirit. The problem, it rests in your flesh and in the stuff between your two ears, your mind, your thinking. Fear comes from the desires of the flesh, and your flesh cries out to your mind with all kinds of fearful thoughts. And if we're in the practice of listening to that, off to the races we go. And so Jesus, though, He understands that. And, you know, He didn't come to condemn us. He came to help us out of that. To help us to rise above it. You know, we don't always understand the fear that's in our hearts or in the hearts of others, but Jesus, He does. He is the one who can actually help us. You know, if we would turn to Him when we are upset or afraid, you know, if we'd go confidently before His throne, He could help us. But often, what we do is we cry out to people. We fuss with those around us. And that can take on any form. We may beg, or we may curse them. Fear looks a lot of ways. Well, you know, we practice all of our lives honing our skills to get what we want. And we want a lot. Sometimes we say, I don't want a lot. We want a lot. And so we fear a lot. And we manipulate a lot. And we accuse a lot. And we accuse our accusers. And all because of this fear that's raging on the inside of us. You know, if we would simply go to Jesus and ask His help in our time of need, you know, we could experience a complete different reality. He says, let us to come boldly into His throne in our time of need. James 4, 1 through 3 says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's all about the flesh. God's not against us experiencing pleasure, by the way. He's against our fear. He's against the forces that are raging in our flesh that cause us to fear and to fight and to harm and to accuse, to live in doubt and unbelief. He's against the battles within you that's caused by your desires. It's not that He doesn't want you to have pleasures or fulfill desires. He does put desires in us so that He can fill them, be our hero, be the one that we love. You know, I'm not fully mature, but I'm mature enough to know that the Word of God is true. I've became convinced of that a long time ago. I may not fully understand, but I know it's true. And so I never argue with the Word. I do ask God to give me a perspective of understanding, because there are things sometimes that's just hard to swallow or hard to understand, but I know it's right from every perspective, and so just because it doesn't may not seem right to me, that just means I don't have the right perspective. I don't have the right understanding. So I'll pray and ask for that, but I always know the Word is true, correct, and right. I mean, that's just where I start from. And so when the Word of God says, I fight, which I do, I fight because of the desires battling within me, I know that that's true. I may not always be able to admit it. I may not always be able to understand it or have the right perspective. But it clearly says why I fight. And so there's no sense wrestling with that. I just need to know it. And so what I need to know is figure out what's going on. What is it do I want? And why am I not going to God for it instead of the person I'm fighting with? I fight because of the desires battling within me. I know it's true. I it's not always easy to see it. I don't always understand. It's easy to blame others. But I know it's true. But what God advises is that instead of taking it out on each other, you know, we should just come to Him. Jesus is interested in your needs. He's interested in your problem. You may very well be facing injustice. You may very well be subjected to things that do not come from Christ, but come from the enemy. Your husband or wife may not be treating you just exactly the way Christ wants them to. Jesus is interested in your needs. He's not against you having pleasure, but you're not pleasure that has roots in hate and self-centeredness. I love these sermons. I get all the amens. You know, but why go to God when you can attack each other and get what you want? I mean, there is a risk going to God. He might not sign off on you going to Adventureland today. Or whatever it is that's your big problem. He might reveal to you that your request is selfish. He might ask you to back down. You better go ahead and use your well-honed skills that you've developed over the years to get what you want. Fight and fuss. Use sugar and spice. Manipulate. Most of us probably have a lot of tools in our arsenal. You should make a list. You know, I mean, I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but maybe I should be saying it seriously. You should make a list of your favorite targets. Is it the Republicans or the Democrats? Trump or Biden? Maybe it's your spouse. A co-worker. The church. Gays and lesbians. Walmart. Well, I remember when Walmart was was destroying everything good in the world. Not all of us Walmart shoppers. We can't get enough stuff. It's Walmart. Their fault. Bad drivers. We don't have that in Creston. Boy, if you live in the city, you know all about bad drivers. Young people. A lot of people like to pick on young people. I don't know. Who is your favorite target? What are your favorite targets? Who do you like to, get all ginned up over? Upset, mad. Who do you like to blame? Who or what do you like to strike when you're afraid? All of us are weak. And we most likely will lash out at some point. And God will forgive us, and we should forgive each other. But instead of acknowledging fear, a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to cover over and excuse ourselves when the Word of God clearly tells us what our problem is. And that only delays the real answer. That answer is found when we go to God instead of quarreling and manipulating and doing all the stuff that we do. And if we would just, calm ourselves and go to the Lord, we would be so much further ahead of the game. How many of you dads, will play the Father's Day card today at some point? You know what the Father's Day card? That's when you remind everyone it's Father's Day so you can get what you want. If you're a dad, that should be in your arsenal. Do your mothers use that on Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, Father's Day ought to be this happy day. We're celebrating and giving all this attention to their dads and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, some father's going to be just beside himself today, fit to be tied. And he's going to become a raging maniac and say, "This is Father's Day. You should be doing whatever." Hopefully, you won't do that and suffer that embarrassment. But, okay, maybe it's just me that will do something like that. And if you do that today, I want you to text me and say I did it. Don't call me. I don't want to talk to you. Just text me and say I did it. Just face the music. Be, man up and send that text. I did it, Pastor. And if you manage to get fussed up, I will encourage you, just don't get all down on yourself all the time. Sometimes try laughing at yourself. And, you know, and then be a real father and take your stuff to God. You know, go to Him and for once. Tell whoever you need to you're sorry. I don't care if they started it or it's their fault. If you responded in anger or hate and defensively and accusing and all that, you have a problem too. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. Don't be mad at me. This might actually help you have better days. 1 Peter 3:13. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what's right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Stop being afraid of all the things that might happen or that are going to happen or all of that. Do you find yourself ever wanting to bury your opponents? Is that just a guy thing? Do you want to crush them? I remember we read a scripture in the Bible once about not being angry at people who offend you or your enemies or something, and because vengeance belongs to God. And I'm paraphrasing, probably butchering it. So we'd always say, "Oh Lord, bless them, bless them." Oh, He hasn't destroyed them yet. Bless them, Lord. Oh, just bless them with Your love. And then we look, see if You crushed them. And, of course, usually that didn't work. He never seemed to take our side in the matter. But could not Jesus have destroyed those who were against Him? Yeah. Couldn't He have called down the angels and just smushed them right then and there? Yep. Gave them a taste of their medicine? Showed them? Instead of going to the cross, couldn't He have done that? Jesus chose the cross because it was a good thing to do. And entertaining fear is not a good thing to do. You know, if you want to do evil, of course you're going to be afraid. What if your opponent gets the upper hand? Then you might want to, they might want to retaliate against you or something. Fear is like a cancer in your heart. And as you know, sometimes we try to use that as a defensive mechanism to, you know, make somebody fear us. We can make them fear us, then maybe they won't harm us. I'm going to tell you, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Never try to create fear in somebody's heart to control them. In fact, if someone is responding in fear, you need to do your best to alleviate them from that fear, to assure them. We do all kinds of dumb things when we're afraid. We throw fire on the fear of the people we love instead of, you know, putting water on it or putting the fire out. It's because we're afraid of going to the cross. But if you're eager to do good to people, even your enemies, who's going to want to harm you? But if you do suffer for doing right, like Jesus did, then you're blessed. So don't be frightened. The imagination running on fear paints a picture of hell. And that will bend you in unimaginable ways. People say it all the time, my life is hell. That's because they let fear paint the picture. But if you are unafraid, the imagination paints a picture of heaven. And in that place, you'll have peace. And the only difference is what you chose to live by. I want to go back and put what Peter said in context. Go to 1 Peter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 8, back up to verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit blessing." People sometimes always wonder, well, what's my calling? repay evil with blessing. Why? Because that's your calling. That's what Christians do. That's your purpose in the world. Otherwise, the Lord should have just went ahead and taken you to heaven when you became a Christian. But He leaves us here for a purpose, a calling, to bless those who curse us, to be a light, to be a different sound, to be a different image. Your purpose is not being a wimp running around trying to get all the things you think you need. Doing good to those who do good to you, that's a picnic. Doing good to those who do you wrong, that's heavy lifting. Your calling and purpose is to do heavy lifting. We inherit the blessings of God because we do the heavy lifting. And because we do that now, we inherit all the blessings that God has to give. We don't inherit all of God's blessings because we're running around crying and bawling and fussing and fighting because of all the things that we want. We're frustrated. We're not getting. Instead of going around being afraid, you might have to do some heavy lifting. People are afraid of that. You should be prepared to do so. I mean, you got to just get up every morning and be ready. What are you going to do today? I'm going to do some heavy lifting. And then hopefully when it comes time to do that, you'll do it. Instead of being shocked that things don't go like you wanted, you should be prepared with what you're going to do when it doesn't go the way you want it to. Jesus didn't exactly want to go to the cross, but that's what it was, and so He did it. And that's why He was given a crown and a name that's above every name and a seat in the highest place. Why forever and forever that He'll be the one that we worship. Verse 10, for whoever would love life, so if you're a whoever, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. And that's not usually what we're doing when we're fussing and fighting. It's not truth that we're batting back and forth, even though sometimes we like to think we are. You know, if you let fear into your heart, you will not be able to control your tongue. You will be speaking words of doubt and belief instead of words of faith. You will not be destroying all your opportunities to see good days, but you sure are putting a damper on the possibility. And that's why fear is so evil, is because it steals so much from us. I have been warning for a long time that the days of trouble await us. And, you know, of course, I'm talking about in the natural. But I want to believe that before all of that, or that in the midst of trouble, that we're going to see good days. I don't care how crazy things are in the world. God can give you a good day. And I want to see people coming into the kingdom of God. I want to see people getting victory in their lives. I want to see them defeat fear. I want to see the just people win over what the devil plans for them. All this craziness. When God just wants us to have so much more. While the world is falling apart, I want to see God's people getting it together. More and more. Man, let our lights shine. Turn the juice on. Get about the business of living. Verse 11. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Seeking and pursuing are not passive activities. They're active or purposeful. They are the decisive and resolute. Do not simply just hope for peace. You know, get up every day and just wonder if something, maybe this is a day, something good will happen today, you know, and just be hopeful, and then you, before breakfast is over, nope, that isn't going to happen, I guess. Some people don't even hit the floor in the morning with their feet with hope. Seeking and pursuing, that's an active and purposeful adventure. Don't simply hope for peace, seek it. Pursue it. Guard it, you know, work for it. You know, make sure you're ready when the enemy comes to take your peace. When he comes to sow seeds of fear, or that a person comes to accuse you, or whatever it is that sets you off, that bad driver out there that cuts you. I don't know what gets you, but whatever it is, just be ready for it. You know, and today, instead of the old same old that you've always done, maybe it's a blessing. I used to get so mad at people who, when you're driving around in the parking lots and you want to go down there and park, and suddenly they're just sitting there blocking the way for everybody because they're waiting for somebody that's getting in their car and going to back out because they want that close spot. And you don't know how long it's going to take that person to get in there. I've seen people get back in their cars and sit there, and I think they sit there purposefully just to keep that person from getting their parking spot. Not, that's sure how your mind thinks. But I mean, it's, you don't know. And so I just burns me. I don't care. It's not that I want the spot either. I'll go on. But just quit blocking the whole driveway. Oh, I used to get so mad. And then one day I thought, man, that is just not, that's so puny. That is just, you got to be better than that. And I had graduated to the point where I was now taking my carts back to the store or to the cart rack instead of just leaving them in the middle of the driveway. That was a big growth spurt right there when I decided that they didn't owe it to me and that I needed to be polite so that carts didn't hit people's cars and whatever. And anyway, I finally got around to doing that. So now I'm thinking, you know, maybe I need to graduate some more. And so I remember I made this decision. Not only would I not get mad at them, but I'd be patient and all that. I purposely, not that I never, ever, ever have, but I will say most of the time I purposely never take the closest spot. I'll just leave that for that person that's probably going to come behind me that would wait for someone to back out of that spot to get it. You know, I'm just going to let them have it. Bless their day. They'll pull up there. You know what they're going to think? They're going to pull in that spot. They're going to praise God, Jesus gave me a parking spot. I can walk with a bum knee. I don't need that front spot, even though the other day I did do it. Anyway. Who comes up with these sermons? Don't so but simply hope for peace. Seek it. Pursue it, especially in the face of fear and distress. Not with vain words spoken to those around you, but by going to God. By choosing love and rejecting fear. And you'll accomplish so much more in your life. You'll feel so much more powerful. I mean, we're so afraid of feeling second class or whatever. I'm telling you what, when you don't react to fear, when you choose peace over fear, you never feel defeated. You never feel second class. You always, now if you just submit to something because you can't do nothing about it and you're mad and pouty, that'll make you feel second class. But I'm telling you, if you're just willingly, we'll just choose peace. Choose that, you know, hey, God's the one who takes care of my problems. And get in the habit of that instead of always thinking somebody else is going to do the right thing or act the right way and all that. Well, you know, it doesn't make any difference. God takes care of my problems. And if we would do this, you will feel like a powerful individual, not a weak one or a second-class one. You know, to do right in the face of wrong, that is not a weakness. That takes extreme strength. Jesus was a man's man, regardless of how people want to paint him. What he did and what he chose to do for others over himself is an astounding, powerful thing. And that all of us can only hope to try to achieve by living a whole lifetime in mimicking his behavior. God loves you, and he wants you to experience pleasure. But he's the only true one that can fill those spots in your life and give you what you really need. All that other stuff is just a big lie. And as Christians in these last days, we just need to be practicing and having the right attitudes, because I just believe it's going to get harder and harder, especially as the people around us get more selfish and more self-centered and more hateful and more antagonistic and all of those kinds of things. It's going to take a lot of spiritual strength to stand against that, to have a smile on your face and the peace of God reigning in your life, so you're not just saying it, but you're living it. And that's what God wants for you. Praise God. Don't you love Jesus? Let's stand and pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for all the good things you do in your life. Thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us at this very moment to be lights, bright lights in the world. Not just to outsiders, but to our families, to our children, to our loved ones, to everyone we know. Lord, help us to make the choice to be heavy lifters. And not to feel second class when you have made us first class. When you've given us everything. Lord, that we would always understand and carry with us the sense of privilege that belongs to us. Our heavenly privilege. And so help us, Lord, to show a better way to the world. Make us fishers of men, that in these last hours, these last days, Lord, that we be able to snag those that still belong in the kingdom. We'll be here ready to receive them, to shine, to show them the way, to wipe the tears from their face, the pain and the fear from their hearts, and help them to find a new light and a new way of living. And we thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Happy Father's Day. Give yourself a hand.